Hello, I am Pastor Ben Kratz, and I serve as one of the pastoral advisors for the Wells Women's Ministry Committee. Joining me again today to discuss the unique callings God has given to us as men and women and how that looks in our lives are some of the executive team of the Women's Ministry Committee. Can we go around the table real quick and introduce ourselves so that people can put a name perhaps to a voice?
I'm Christy Meyer.
Naomi Schmidt.
And I'm Dawn Schultz.
Our conversation today is looking at the second devotion for this week, digging into 1 Timothy chapter 2. And since we are in the second devotion this week, we are looking at how that applies to our lives and to our world. So maybe just as a reminder, if you haven't already, go back and read the devotion first. It will certainly help put our conversation in a bit more context and certainly help with that. Now, over the past 11 weeks, we have been studying scripture, listening to our God as he lays out for us this beautiful picture of how men and women interact and the unique callings he has given to us. We've learned that despite our sinful nature and living in a sinful world, which doesn't really understand these callings, unique callings God has given to us are intended to be a wonderful blessing to us, which really begins to filter even how we read 1 Timothy 2 here. One of the things that Christy, you brought up in writing the devotion was that it's important to distinguish between authority and leadership. Why is that so important?
I think that it's really important to distinguish between those two because in some situations they are synonymous and in other situations they are not. And sometimes it's not the greatest terminology that's used. For example, sometimes we call things church leadership councils. And they are. That's not bad, but those are places where authority exists and where authority is present. And it's also a leadership role. But there's other places where leadership roles exist and there is not a violation of women serving in those roles and still acting in a way contrary to 1 Timothy 2. So when we equate authority and leadership in a way that doesn't necessarily require them to be equated, I think I used the verb conflate in the devotion, we potentially get into the place of unnecessarily restricting women. And for the many, many times I've said this, I don't think it's done maliciously. I'm not intending to say that we are intending to unnecessarily restrict women, but when we equate those two concepts in places where they don't necessarily need to be equated, and Dawn and Naomi, I think you're going to talk a little bit more about what leadership is and how that can be different, then we run into a place of placing unnecessary restrictions on women. And that's something that would be helpful to avoid whenever possible. So that's my reason for why it's so important. And then we can talk a little bit about how they're different as well.
I think that is a great distinction, Christy. And I think especially in the world today and in conversations that aren't necessarily about scripture, we use the words authority and leadership very differently. And just for example, I think too about people who understand leadership to be a quality. And you would talk about a person as a leader because they have that quality within themselves. And so I think too, I've seen that, you know, personally in my life where I can see where I have been influential. I can see where there are people who might look for a question to be answered, or they might look for some spiritual mentoring. And so in that respect, very much a leader, and even in a spiritual sense as a mentor to other women. And yet that's not a formal position, like you were saying, an executive council position, for example, and yet still that spirit and character of leadership sometimes just exudes from people. But again, I think it's important to point out, as you did, that there are other times that they are the same thing, but that is a great distinction.
Naomi, I appreciate you talking about the quality or characteristic of leadership. And I think for me, growing in leadership, I think we talked about this in one of the previous weeks, growing in my understanding of leadership is really more focusing on the quality and the characteristic of recognizing that there are people or processes to invest oneself into, as opposed to focusing on a title or authority that's given. And for women especially, I think the encouragement to not shy away from the opportunities to give of oneself in a leadership way to build up others, to build up other programs or people or things going on in the church or your home or even outside the church and home, that they're those qualities that God has given is a gift that should be used. And I know for myself, I am benefited when I forget about titles and rather look at what God has given me and how I can use that as a blessing for others.
That is such a beautiful picture, Dawn, using it as a blessing for others. And I think that sometimes is what gets lost in this conversation. What can we do? What can't we do? Trying to focus on that and really coming back to how can I be a blessing to others? And yet, and I don't want to make this too much of a caveat, but and yet we do that within a structure. We do that within a structure that exists, and we do that within our church in good order. So it isn't like you're saying, I can be a blessing to others by doing this, and I'm just going to go ahead and do it full steam ahead, no matter what anybody else thinks. It's both. It's working with your spiritual gifts, but it's also working within the structure in the organization that exists so that as many people can be benefited as possible and that the church can function in the best way it possibly can.
And I appreciate you saying that, because it is that both and we've keep coming back to, and we keep circling around as we take a look at scripture. And I think the blessing of working with Wells Women's Ministry or working with other women in our synod who are in a variety of different places is just the blessing of these principles and not wanting to overstep them, to want to better understand how to use them within the structure God has given, instead of just taking over and just taking charge.
That's a really great point. I would like to just share the story of how I got into my job and my position of leadership at work. I started out looking for something that could just help out our family financially, that worked around our family schedule, that worked around the kids in school and my husband's responsibilities with ministry. But over time, God really blessed our company and the work that I was doing. God really blessed the gifts that I did bring to our organization, and we did continue to grow. And I am now in a position of leadership over men, over quite a few people. And the whole time, I really have always asked the question, I haven't been so focused on, can I do this? Can I do this? As much as I've asked the question, how can I honor God in this? How can I reflect my Savior? How can I respect my love for His word, my love for His order, my appreciation for the leadership that I have around me? How can I encourage and build that in other ways? So I think everybody's going to have a different story in their secular leadership position. That's mine personally. But it's really been a continual searching of how do I honor God in this? Where can I share Christ in this and exemplify His servant leadership to those around me?
Naomi, that is something that I was not always good at. And I think that this will come out in next week's devotion a little bit more. But when talking about authority, leadership, secular roles, et cetera, in the church, whatever you want to say, it has taken me a very long time to get to the point of asking the question, how can I best serve to exemplify Christ's servant leadership to build up the body of Christ, as opposed to asking, is this something that I'm allowed to do? And I don't want to tip my hand too much, because next week is a good devotion in and of itself, but remembering that is the place where we start from. And this is true with leadership in the church. I think it's especially true with secular leadership as well. People might be led to make different decisions, and that is totally and completely fine. It is absolutely possible, like I said in this week's, for two Christian women to make two completely different decisions about a secular leadership position. And even within a secular leadership position, sometimes they're like you, where they kind of didn't intend for it to happen and it did, and now it's a wonderful blessing to you and others. And some of them say, this is a place where I can serve, and they're actively going to apply for a secular leadership position because they know that this is a place where they can use their gifts. Both of those are good and beneficial, as long as they are coming from a correct motivation of wanting to act as a Christian, wanting to respect the biblical principles in all aspects of our life. And so once again, as you said, when we start with that, when we start with respecting the biblical principles, it is so much easier to keep everything else in perspective.
Oh, totally. And I have such a love for the way that we have gotten to this place in the conversation by studying the whole counsel of God, by not starting here and saying, let's just figure out this one problem with this one passage, but that we've looked at so many different things. And so in the same way, I think as women are looking for wisdom and guidance in making decisions and how do I honor God? How do I live out his principles in my life? That they are going to be looking at so many different things. They're going to get the counsel of other godly people to get their encouragement and their direction and see, what do you see in this? How can this be good? Am I missing something? And it is a struggle. It is something that we do ask the questions, and that's okay. And that's great. And I agree that we don't always get to the same answers, but let's have this struggle and conversation together. This is a great place to be.
And I think for any Christian walking in any realm of their life needs to understand that the questioning, the struggle is a God-given blessing that drives us back to his word. That with every aspect, we have the opportunity to not be vilified for asking the question, but be encouraged to go to God's word for the answer. To see that all of these principles, that every one of them are who he or are what he gives us in his word that shape our identity as his children. And how can we best live that to give glory and honor to him? I'm thankful for the continued conversation on that. That drives me back to his word.
Absolutely. Because the question is not, can I throw this principle out? Do I have to be bound by it? The question is, I want to honor Christ. I want to do what his word says. Help me see how to make good decisions and how to uphold the things that God is teaching me. And it's that attitude, I think, that differentiates us from those who say, I don't care about this. This doesn't apply. We're seeking this and it's difficult. And so let's go back to the word together and keep studying it with a love for God's word and a desire to uphold what he teaches us.
And that's where that struggle is good, right? Where you have an understanding, hey, this principle is here. And now I'm going to struggle to figure out how to apply that in my life in different situations. And that's a good thing to struggle with God's word in that way.
It doesn't always feel that way, Ben. I think sometimes the struggle itself feels like you second guess yourself. Can I really struggle with this? And it is a good process. It, like Dawn said, those are good questions to ask. But sometimes you even feel guilty saying, can I even ask the question? And that's what I think is so important right now about being able to say, this is a struggle. I have questions. Can someone help me?
I think the other part of it is that the applications are all different. You know, there isn't one cookie cutter way that all of this principle is applied. And that also kind of makes you feel uneasy. Well, am I doing something wrong? Am I doing something right? But coming back to God's word and looking at the principle and focusing on him instead of too much laterally.
Right. And when we see other people doing different things, we go, oh, is that what I'm supposed to do? Nope. What you're supposed to do is go back to God's word and you're supposed to, you know, wrestle through it and get good counsel. And yeah.
It also gets particularly hard because not only are we sinful when we're struggling with this, and not that the struggle is sinful, but the struggle is informed by our sinful nature, right? But we're dealing with other sinful, imperfect people as well. And sometimes I said in this week's devotion, it's so important not to make blanket prohibitions on women serving in authority positions. And sometimes because we are dealing with sinful people, there are unnecessary prohibitions that are made. And we can talk about in every individual situation, it's important to look at the individual situation, whether those are good and beneficial for the benefit of the church or whether they truly are unnecessary. But that's the flip side of the coin. And it's a struggle on both sides. And I think that there are times when we should recognize, yes, it's us, but there are times we should also recognize there is a struggle going in both directions. And as a female, it's been very hard for me to be patient with that. And patience is not a quality that I have in spades. I find myself really wanting to push the envelope as far as I can. And it's difficult to not, but remembering it's sometimes a struggle on both sides. It sometimes shows itself on both sides.
Well, I think that picks up what Ben was really talking about though, because the struggle is a blessing. And so as much as it doesn't always feel like a blessing, that opportunity for us to come together, not just as women, but to come together with our church body, to come together with our pastors and other leaders and people who can help us understand God's word better, that growth that we have to say, we want to grow and understand God's word, that being compelled into that position to really wrestle with things with a true desire to get back to the word, that is a tremendous blessing. It's going to bless women and men. You're right, Christy, both sides, everyone, all of us need to be encouraged and blessed by the word and this journey of studying it. It's a great journey.
I've read it a couple of times, but one of the paragraphs in the devotion just called for putting and taking words and actions in the kindest possible way. And I think that was an important reminder, as well as the responsibility to articulate how certain actions might not be violating the principles that God has given. And I think we can't walk into any of these conversations treating them lightly. These are big matters because they're God's word and his glory ultimately that are being shaped and acted upon. And so keeping those reminders, I really appreciated that part of the devotion.
And I really, really wanted to bring that out, Dawn, because in a world where everything is immediately has the potential to be viral on social media, it can go so fast and spread so fast. There is a responsibility, like you said, on both sides. There is a responsibility for the congregation implementing these roles in a way that is maybe contrary to how it's been done in the past, to explain, no, we're not violating headship. We're not violating the unique callings of men and women. Here's why. But there's also a responsibility, like you said, to have those personal conversations. And so this is where, again, swinging back to authority, there's no one right way to do this. It doesn't exist. We live in a messy world. We live in a world where situations are different. And so there's so many ways for women to serve in leadership positions in the church without violating Paul's prohibition on authority. We can encourage them to do so in a way that makes sense in our local setting, in our local congregation, in the situation that we're in. And it's important to recognize that that's going to look different in different situations.
I think if I were to give any encouragement to women who are experiencing these things or to our church body, I think recognizing that as it was not good for man to be alone, and we are in relationships, it's not good for a female to be walking into these positions alone or by herself. And so a couple of things to look for just come to mind when I think about how Wells Women's Ministry is structured in and of itself. We have the blessing of pastoral advisors who are trained and have been given just the instruction and then guide us and, you know, give us things to consider. And so for a woman to have a mentor, a spiritual male leadership that can mentor and guide and advise, I think is going to be really important for her to continue in that leadership role, feeling the support from someone. As Wells Women's Ministry, we also have the sponsorship of Adult Discipleship, an organization that's saying this is who we support and how they can serve and continue to nurture, encourage, and equip women. And so for a woman to have the sponsorship of a male pastor, the leadership team, her husband, if she's working outside of the home in a secular position, whatever it might be, but just to have that advocate who is saying, I stand by you, I support you. And in fact, I'm going to advocate and consider how I can promote what you're doing so that you're not feeling all alone. And then finally, I think we just, again, this is, I'm using Wells Women's Ministry as kind of a springboard for the topic, and you apply that in the way that works best for you. But we've also had the companionship of fellow females that walk with us, that we have conversations about this, and we can talk to each other about our experiences as unique in our calling and as females in and of itself. And so I think for a woman, you know, in our church body to also seek out other females themselves, that are informed by God's word, who have struggled through these things, that they can be a support and a mentor system, because God did not create us to be alone. And so if we can give that kind of support, I think that helps us walk through these things together. And I have had the blessed opportunity to experience that. And I really pray that for every woman. And I think that that's part of why we all have worked so hard to continue this conversation in the way that we have.
That's so true, Dawn. I think that we are really so in need of that partnership that we have in ministry. And as we were talking earlier and kind of recognizing the conflict and the different perspectives sometimes that people have and the way that this can divide us. I love the thought of going back to the garden and saying, partners in ministry, interdependency, walking together as one, and saying, we have the same goal. We really do. We are really all striving to share Christ in a sin-darkened world, and we want his word to guide us. And so that idea that we are supporting one another, that we are working together to find how can we best walk together, and that is our goal and our attitude. And I agree, we're certainly striving for that within our organization. But the beauty is our congregations are striving for the same thing. The women in our churches are striving for the same thing. The men in our churches are striving for the same thing. And so it is going to be difficult to see the pieces fall together, but the interdependency and the partnership is what's been created by Christ. And so we don't have to find that ourselves. It's been given, and sin has broken it. But those gears are coming back together because of the Spirit, because of the teaching of the word, because of what the grace that we've been given. And I have such hope that as we work forward towards this walking together, that God is going to indeed bless that and give us encouragement and wisdom and guidance.
And that is where I am so thankful for the support of, John, you mentioned the self-discipleship, for the support of our synod in bringing the summer devotional series to light. It is a beautiful topic that we as members of Wells Women's Ministry have been talking about for forever. And I am so thankful that we are given the venue by our synod to be able to talk about it on a broader level. So I just especially want to express appreciation for that. It is a beautiful, wonderful blessing. And I am so thankful to be able to have this conversation and be able to do this writing. It's been an amazing blessing.
Amen.
So as you think through everything that we've talked about this week, could you try to narrow it down to maybe one takeaway that you have for the readers, for our listeners, you know, one thing you want them to remember from this week's devotions?
I have to imagine that there might be an element of disappointment, you know, when you head into this topic and you say, what can and what can't I do? And, you know, you're coming out of it with, well, it's going to be different in every circumstance. And that's frustrating. But my takeaway would just be to continue to dig into God's word, continue to see how his principle can be played out in a way that honors him in every sphere that God's placed you in. And don't run away from it in frustration, but continue to dig in, because his word is going to guide and direct you when you give it the opportunity to do that.
And that kind of plays off of my takeaway as well. And I'm going to say this in a way that kind of sounds judgmental, but you have to understand that I'm judging myself because I did this for a very long time. Don't set God's word aside just because you don't like it. And it is a little too strong, but in particular, remember that this section of scripture refers back to something that was put into place in perfection. We talked earlier in our first podcast this week about the relationships that exist. Those relationships that existed before sin came into the world. And so that is what we are basing all of this on. And that is especially what Paul is referencing in 1 Timothy. So remember that when you're studying these words, it's a reminder that I myself need constantly. And so I am giving it to you in loving encouragement as well.
For me, it's really taking words and actions in the kindest possible way. I just think that the only way we're going to move forward is if we recognize that we share a fellowship in Christ, a love for his word, and that we are going to have to work together. We're going to have to support one another and understand our situations are different, and just having that spirit of love and that desire to partner in ministry, that desire to be interdependent, and understanding that we are going to grow in our understanding. We're all we're all going to, it's going to be difficult for everyone that's involved, that's making decisions. That happens every day. But that we are walking together. We are walking by the word of God, and we're just going to walk in love, and that the grace of Christ is going to motivate us to do that. And that, again, that just brings tremendous hope and joy. It brings light to the picture.
I think the other one I had, and it builds on some of the things we've talked about in earlier weeks, is just as you have questions and as you have struggles with these things, have those conversations. Like, that's why your pastor is there. You know, go and talk to him and ask him questions, you know, talk to him about the struggle you have, so that you can together dig into God's word. And from there, you know, figure out best how to apply all of the principles God gives us in his word to whatever situation we find ourselves in. And to recognize that, I think, Dawn, you've probably said it a couple of times, you know, that in that struggle, you're not alone, that you aren't the first person to struggle with these things, nor will you be the last. And those struggles, especially as we have a concept of the callings God has given to us, that struggle's good. That means we understand there is something at play here that I want to honor and respect and show God that I love this, and just that I'm trying to figure out best how to do it. And that, and because of that, that struggle can be good. We recognize that there are probably 100 other questions that may have popped into your mind just about this podcast, or perhaps podcasts and conversations we've had before this. Questions that we haven't addressed or had the time to talk about. We want to know what those questions are. We're going to have a Q&A conversation after the last week of devotions, where we're going to try to answer some of those questions. So if you do have questions, be sure to send them to us at womensministry@wells.net. That email again is womensministry@wells.net. And we will try to answer as many of them as we can in that last audio conversation. Christy, before we wrap this up, could you give us a quick sneak peek of what we are going to be looking at in week 12?
Next week, we are sticking with Paul. We're moving out of 1 Timothy and going back to Corinthians and looking at permissible versus beneficial. How do those concepts fuel or inform our understanding of the unique callings of men and women?
All right. Thanks for joining us for our conversation today. Hope that you come back next week for our conversation, and we'll see you then.